Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Oh, Jesus Christ is being tempted. The Sadducees have come around. Herodians are there. Pharisees. They're trying to trip up Jesus Christ. You know, they're trying to get a sound bite they can use against him. Yes, well, it's just trying to catch something out of his mouth. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm so thankful today to have had the opportunity to preach this message this morning at the nursing home. The ladies and men that were there at Home Green, and it's been on my mind today, Father, and I pray that we have a chance to look at it again tonight here with our own folks, and I pray that it'll be as much an encouragement to them as it has been to me. And I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that where we present this tonight, it'll be done in a way that will glorify you and help us, Father, and we ask you to do it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, you think about loving the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, which is what he told us to do. That's a commandment, and that commandment really didn't change when you got into the New Testament. You know, people say, well, you know, that commandment, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, you ever read Romans and some other places like in there? There's a lot of stuff the Lord has commanded us to do, but he never changed his mind about commanding us to love the Lord God. And the question is, you know, when you love somebody, it's evident. It's evident that you love somebody. We had the opportunity to go to a church here in town. I did last night, and some of you were there on Monday night, and had an opportunity to hear some preachers that were invited into town for a special revival meeting. And one of the preachers that preached last night got up and he said, you know what? He said, I love our people at our church. I miss them right now. He said, I love my wife. He said, I'm leaving first thing in the morning to go back to California, and I'm looking forward to being with my family. You know, there wasn't any question in my mind that he loved them. You know, because and the reason is he was so sincere when he said that to us about his love for the people in his church and the love for his wife. And that let me know something. When you love somebody, you're not ashamed to speak about them. And you know something, the same is true of God. When you love God, you're not ashamed to speak about him. It's an amazing thing to me when I have an opportunity to be in the ministry of meeting people, and then, you know, their family says, you know, I'm really not sure if granddad or dad or whatever is saved. I never hear him say anything about the Lord. It makes you wonder, does this guy really love God? And it really makes you wonder when you find out later, yeah, the person's saved, but he never told anybody or never said anything to anybody else about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember having a chance to visit with a fellow who was late in his life when he first got acquainted with the Lord. He was already in his 70s when he got saved. And he and I had a chance to visit, and he told me his family was coming to see him, and I said, make sure you tell him that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he did that. And it wasn't just because I prompted him. He really did appreciate what God had done when George Alexander got saved years ago in Beeville and then died in the nursing home, and I went to go see him and his son, pay respects to him and then see his son and comfort him right after his dad had died. People came in there to see about George. They all said, do you know he was a Christian? I said, yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I was there when he received Christ. And I said, how'd you know? He said, well, he told us all. You know, that you don't question whether somebody loves somebody when they're willing to tell somebody else about the Lord. So listen, in your own life, if you really want to demonstrate your love of God to somebody else, go tell somebody else that you love him. Because that is evident that it really is true. I appreciated what one of the preachers said last night about the prayer Bob Jones Sr. prayed. This guy had heard of Bob Jones Sr., of course, knew him in his lifetime. And he knew that he was a very, very effective evangelist who led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord through his preaching. And so he went to this meeting, and they asked Bob Jones Sr. to get up and pray. He said, when he got up and prayed, I learned what made that man tick. Because as he was praying, it was as if nobody else was in the auditorium. He was just praying, and he was just talking to Jesus. And when he did, he said, by faith, he said, I can just crawl up in your lap, hug you around the neck, tell you how much I love you. You know what? That's an indication of the truth of your love for God. And you want to demonstrate and make your love for God evident. Tell somebody else about God. Tell them about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you another way that you can know when you love somebody, you like to speak with them. You know, I love my wife, and it's nice to be able to sit down and visit. And the longer that we've known each other and the longer that we've been married, the more we'll sit down from time to time and talk over things. It's really funny. It used to be you could tell Ann something 2 weeks later, ask me, you knew about that, right? And I said, no, I never heard anything about it. We weren't doing a whole lot of talking in early parts of the ministry. So much going on. And you tell me something and she didn't know about it. But we talk over a lot more things now. You talk over things with people that you love. Yeah. You know how we do that with God? We pray. We pray. You know, a lot of times we think about prayer, run down the list of things that we need, and we're surely going to take up some of those tonight. And it is right and appropriate to do that because God answers prayer. But how nice it is just sit down and talk over things with God because you love Him and know that you've entered into a conversation with Him. Have you ever thought that when you're in time of prayer with God, that He's there, but we never seem to envision the fact that if you could open your eyes, just like Elisha opened the eyes of Gehazi, you could actually see that He's right there. We get this idea of great God in heaven. Well, He is in heaven, and He is a great God, but He's also in here. And you get to have that time with Him in prayer. So you love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. Be conscious of the fact that you are in conversation with Him in prayer, and He's right there. And I'll tell you something else that's an indication of your love for somebody, and that's, I know it's going to sound a little bit like prayer, but that you like to have fellowship with them. Don't you ever spend time with somebody and really don't spend that much time talking? You're just in the same vicinity? I enjoy that. I know I get up here and I shoot off my mouth because I'm preaching, but when I work and things like that, I like to be quiet, but I like to be with people. I like to be with people with whom I like to be. Same thing with God. You don't have to be talking to Him all the time to be demonstrating your love. Just be conscious of the fact that you and God are together. Our fellowship is with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That means you're spending time together. You're riding down the road, you're there with Him, conscious of His presence. Two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst. He's right here with us. You're having fellowship with God. You don't have to wait. You're doing that right now. And that's because when you're in love with somebody, you enjoy being in fellowship together. So when you love God, you know that you love God because you like to tell others about Him, you like to speak with Him, and you like to just be in His presence. There is a lot of things going on in this world to draw us out of a conscious awareness of being in the presence of God. You notice that? And man, how nice to be able to have gone through life. I came back here Tuesday to start working, and you know Barry has been keeping up with us on the John radio studies and helping me get the notes. We lost all of the written notes that were used to produce those radio broadcasts. So what he's been doing is listening to those broadcasts and then typing up the notes from those, not transcribing them, and then that way I can look at them, adjust them a little bit, and then get them posted on the website. It's been a great help to me. It's been a good help to him, I think, because it's, you know, gotten him into looking all through the John studies. And where was I going with this? Anyway, so I came up here Tuesday. Well, he'd done a lot of work. And I got here, you know, you wouldn't think that that's exhausting work, but it does work on you. And I won't go through all the detail of how we get that work done. And I came here, and honestly, I knew I was tired after being on my back with the flu for a few days. And I said to the Lord, I don't think I can finish all these. I'll do what I can, and then I'll go home. Time just passed. By the time it was over, I was aware and was thinking about the Lord helping me with that. I hit the button on the last one of those, and I said, thank you, Lord. I came out and told Kim, I'll see you later. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And I left, but they were all done. They were all done, you know, and I knew, I was aware that the Lord had helped me with that. You say, how do you know that? I had a bowl of oatmeal about 9 o'clock in the morning. It was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Didn't even miss the fact that I hadn't had lunch. And with the sugar situation I got and all that, I usually know that. But it was just, all I'm saying is it was nice to be working in the conscious awareness that God was there helping me do that work. That was nice. That was nice. And you know what that is? That's an evidence of that love. I'll tell you something else. When you love somebody, not only do you, are those things true, but you know what? You like to give them things. You like to give them things. And obviously, in the work of the ministry and things like that, it is nice you give the Lord your time. You know, you give the Lord your money. You give the Lord your possessions. Some of you go by and pick up people and bring them to church. You know what that is? That's taking something that God has given you, using that for the purpose of God to get somebody else to church and give you lives. Woods are getting ready to go over to Moldova. You think they have any idea what all is in front of them? They've been there for a couple weeks, but there's a lot yet still to know. And they're going to walk away from some kids, and you know, her mother's up there in the Dallas area and all that kind of thing. Leave the house here and head over there and try to do all that till Jesus comes. You know something? If that's not done out of love for the Lord God, you're going to have a hard time making that last. But if that's done out of love for the Lord God, you know what? You don't mind giving those things. Isn't that right? You know, that's just evidence of your love. It's funny. I know in a lot of churches, the pastor has to get up and beat people out of money in order to be able to pay the bills. And I say that jokingly in some respects, but in some respects, that's just about how bad it has to get sometimes. You know what? That's generally a problem. That's generally an indication that the people, could be right from the pastor through the church, are having trouble in their love for God. When you love God, that's nothing. What does the Bible call that stuff you have in your wallet? Filthy lucre. You ever smell it? And I'm telling you, man, the world goes crazy to accumulate that stuff. I mean, they get excited about all the gold and silver and possessions that have been accumulated on this side of eternity. Lord says it's all going to burn up anyway. Boy, you fall in love with God, and that stuff really only does one thing. It allows you to put a little food on the table and gives you something to give back to Him that He can do something with better than you could. And that's a pleasure. I love doing that. You know, my disappointment is, my wife and I give a lot, and I'm not saying that braggadociously. We just do. My disappointment is we can't do more. I'm serious. And I'm all the time trying to find ways to do more. Why? I love God. What did He give you? He gave you life, and He gave it to you at the expense of the life of His own Son. What is a few greenbacks? Nothing. Nothing. When you love somebody, you don't mind giving them whatever they want. It's just a pleasure to be able to do that. And then I'll tell you one other thing. He says in here there's two commandments, didn't he? What's the first one? You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, and that's like the first one. You know what the indication is? If you don't love your brothers, it's not their fault. The problem is your love of God. In 1 John, I'll just read it to you. You probably already know the passage anyway. But he says this, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Boy, isn't John bold? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. In what? That you have love one for another. Listen, one of the greatest evidences of our love for God is the fact that I love you and that you love me. Do you know me very well? Tad bit here and there, but I mean, I'm saying if you knew me like I knew me, you probably wouldn't be so inclined to love me unless it is that you love God and your love for me flows out of your love for God. Same way with you. I'm sure if I knew everything there was to know, I'd be, you know, really? Now, some of you, but you know what that is? You know what that is? That's something that comes out of loving God. It's evidence of our love. You know what? I've talked about it from time to time, and I'm thank God that it hadn't happened here, and I pray that it doesn't, and I don't look for it too. I'm just aware of those things and how they can come. But churches, when they go through a split and things like that, you know what happened? They broke down in their love for God. It's where they started it. That's where it really started. Now, you wouldn't be able to get people in there to admit that. They'd all say they love God because you'd be ashamed not to say that. But the truth of the matter is, if you really do, you love each other. It comes easy. It comes much easier. So those are just a few things to remind us about that commandment that Jesus answered there. You love God? you won't have any problem telling somebody else about Him. You love God, your prayer life will be characterized by that love for God. And you will enjoy and be aware of having fellowship with Him. Won't be any trouble for you. When it comes time, the Lord wants you to give Him something, won't be any trouble for you, and you'll love each other. And I thank God that it all stems from the love of God. Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to look in the Scripture. I pray this little boost, this little lesson, has been a help to us. It sure has been a help to me, and I'm thankful, Father, tonight, when we go through and do some of the things that we're going to do here tonight in our prayer meeting and with our meeting, we know that what we're doing, Father, is something that grows sincerely out of your love for us and then our love for you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to love you even more than we do this year, for we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.